Hey everyone, welcome back. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into a topic that's got marketing folks kind of, buzzing a little bit these days. And that is MMM, marketing mix modeling. You know, that really great tool we have that helps us figure out what marketing activities are really driving those sales. But here's the thing. There's pretty serious debate going on about how to make sure our MMMs are actually accurate. Specifically, whether we should be using, those short-term experiments to calibrate a model that's supposed to be focused on those long-term effects. So think of it this way. It's like we're trying to, fine-tune a marathon training plan based on just a couple of sprints. Does that even make sense? Well, that's exactly what we're here to figure out. And to help us sort all this out, we've got an expert in the house. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, looking forward to breaking this down. It's definitely a topic that has some pretty big implications for anybody doing marketing,
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if we get this wrong, then we could be making decisions based on bad data, right? So before we get too deep into the weeds, the stats, let's just make sure everyone's on the same page here. So imagine you're a marketer, right? And you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I really understand what's driving these sales? You've got this amazing tool, MMM, and it takes all your historical data, everything, media spend, holidays, the different seasons, you name it. It's kind of like having a marketing detective, right?
Mm.
Sifting through all the clues to try to figure out what's really impacting the bottom line.
Yeah. You know, MMM helps us see those connections, the patterns that might be hitting in plain sight. It's really about understanding that bigger picture, how your marketing efforts are working together over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, MMM at its heart, a lot of times it's using an additive model. I kind of think of this like a recipe, right? So you've got a dash of TV ads, a sprinkle of social media, a pinch of email marketing. And what MMM is trying to do is figure out what's that perfect blend of ingredients to maximize, your marketing mix.
It is a simplification, but it's a pretty powerful one. By understanding how each of those ingredients contributes to that final dish, so to speak, we can really start to optimize for, maximum flavor. Or, in this case, maximum sales, right?
Okay, now I'm getting hungry. But here's the real question, right? The million-dollar question. How do we make sure that our MMM recipe is the right one, that it's accurate? And this is where calibration comes in. And this is where I think the debate really starts to heat up. Should we be using those short-term experiments, like those A-B tests that we all love? Should we be using those to fine-tune a model that's actually built to analyze long-term effects?
That's the real core of it at first. On the surface, it seems kind of intuitive, right? You use those controlled tests to adjust your model, make sure it's really aligned with what we're seeing in the market. But as we'll see, it's not that straightforward.
Okay, so let's break down this calibration idea a little bit. When I think about calibration, I kind of picture it like, calibrating a kitchen scale, right? You got to adjust it until it gives you that right weight. Am I on the right track here?
That's a great analogy. Yeah, calibration is really about adjusting those model parameters so that the predictions are actually matching what's going on in the real world, like making sure our marketing scale, if you will, is giving us accurate readings.
Okay, gotcha. But isn't that kind of the same as validation, making sure the model's accurate?
Not exactly. Validation is more about testing how well the model predicts new data, stuff it hasn't seen before. Whereas calibration is about making sure that the model's output is aligned with what we're actually observing, right now.
Okay, so two sides of the same coin. Got it. But why are marketers so focused on using experiments for calibration? It seems like a pretty logical approach. What's the thinking there?
It's tempting, for sure. Experiments are really good at isolating the impact of specific marketing actions, right? So naturally, we might think, well, why not use that information to really fine-tune our understanding of how things are working in that bigger picture? The problem is that kind of thinking. It can lead us down a bit of a rabbit hole.
Okay, I'm hearing a but coming. What's the catch with using these experiments for MMM calibration?
The issue. I think the main issue is that we're kind of trying to mix oil and water. Experiments are all about that short-term impact. It's a quick burst of data to see what moves the needle immediately. But MMM, on the other hand, that's a marathon runner. It's focused on those long-term effects that really unfold over weeks, months, even years.
Ah, the classic short-term versus long-term battle. So using those quick experiment insights to calibrate this model that's built for the long haul, maybe not the best idea.
Exactly. It's like trying to judge how successful a cross-country road trip is going to be based on just the first mile. And that mismatch, that temporal mismatch, creates a whole bunch of problems.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about these problems. What are we up against here?
Well, for one thing, the units and the context a lot of times don't really match up. Experiments typically measure lift, which is really just a percentage change. did our campaign increase website visits by 5%, something like that. But MMM is dealing with absolute values, things like dollars or units sold. And trying to kind of cram those two together can really throw our model off in for me.
So even if an experiment shows, let's say, a 5% lift in clicks, that doesn't necessarily translate directly to a 5% increase in sales. We can't just plug that number into our MMM and be done with it.
Precisely. It's like trying to swap out a cup of flour for a cup of sugar in a cake recipe. The proportions are just totally off. And then on top of that, there's the issue of scope. Experiments are usually super laser focused on one channel. Maybe we're testing a new Facebook ad campaign. But MMM is trying to capture that whole marketing ecosystem, right? With all the different interactions, seasonality, economic trends, even what our competitors are doing.
Right. So it's like comparing a single puzzle piece to that whole finished picture, trying to adjust our entire marketing strategy based on one little experiment. Probably not the best move.
Definitely not. It would be like trying to adjust your entire investment portfolio based on the performance of just one stock over like a week. You need that bigger picture.
Yeah.
And these problems, it's not just one type of MMM, whether we're using, you know, traditional statistical methods or the newer Bayesian approaches, that temporal mismatch really keeps tripping us up.
Okay, so no matter how fancy our stats get, trying to force those short-term experiment results into our MMM recipe for disaster. Got it. But I know there are some MMM libraries out there, like Robin and Pink Marketing. They're trying to tackle this calibration thing using experimental data. What are they doing, and is it working?
That's a great question. Let's start with Robin, which was developed by Meta. They have a really interesting technique. It's called fracturing the ad stock. Remember how we talked about ad stock representing those lingering effects of marketing over time? Well, Robin tries to actually break those effects down into smaller pieces, pieces that align with the time frame of the experiment. It's like taking a loaf of bread and slicing it up, so you can compare it to a single cracker.
Okay, so they're trying to make those long-term effects bite-sized, huh? Mm-hmm. So we can compare them to those quick bursts of data from our experiments. But I'm guessing there's some issues with this, right?
You're sharp. The source material we're looking at actually calls out some philosophical concerns with this method. The big worry is that fracturing the ad stock might oversimplify what's really a complex process. Ad stock isn't like a loaf of bread that you can just neatly slice up. Mm-hmm. It's more like a sourdough starter, right? Constantly evolving, influencing the flavor of everything you bake with it.
So it's not a clean break. We can't just separate past marketing from the current stuff. It's all mixed together.
Exactly. And by trying to separate those things artificially, we might end up with a distorted view of how our marketing is actually working. It's like trying to judge a chef's skill based on just one ingredient. Instead of looking at the entire dish, we might end up making decisions that, you know, prioritize short-term gains over long-term brand building, all because we're focused on that fractured ad stock data.
Okay, so maybe Robin's method is leading us down the wrong path, making us focus on the cracker crumbs instead of the whole loaf. What about Pimp Marketing? How are they handling this calibration problem?
Pimp Marketing's taking a different approach, leveraging the power of Bayesian modeling. Instead of trying to break down the ad stock or adjust parameters directly, it tries to integrate that experimental data into the model's probability distributions.
So it's kind of letting the model itself adjust to the experiment's information instead of us forcing the data to fit a certain mold. More of a nudge than a, you know, sledgehammer approach.
Exactly. It's more nuanced. Which is one of the benefits of Bayesian methods. They allow for a much more natural way of integrating those different data sources. Right. But, of course, there are some caveats here as well.
Yeah, nothing's ever that easy, is it?
Yeah.
So what are the potential problems with Pink Marketing's approach?
Well, the source material does raise some concerns about how exactly Pink Marketing incorporates that lift data. It uses a gamma distribution, which might not be the best fit for all types of lift data. Kind of like using a wrench when you really need a screwdriver, right? The tool's not quite the right one for the job.
Okay, so got to make sure our statistical tools are a good fit for the data. Makes sense. And there are also concerns about how the lift data is added to the model, right? Something about independence.
You got it. The way Pink Marketing is currently doing it, it assumes that the observed lift data is independent of the model's own predictions, which, in the real world, might not actually be the case. Those correlations can definitely sneak in and cause trouble.
So it's a promising approach, but there's definitely room for improvement in terms of how that experimental information is integrated.
Mm.
But we've been talking a lot about the theory here, the potential issues. What happened when researchers actually tested these calibration methods out? Did those theoretical concerns actually play out in practice?
That's where things get really interesting. Yeah, so they ran a whole bunch of tests comparing the calibrated models against the uncalibrated ones, and they used a whole bunch of different metrics. And here's the thing, a lot of times calibration actually made the models worse.
Whoa, wait, really? All that work to, you know, tweak and fine-tune those models, and they end up performing worse. That's kind of unexpected.
I know, right? But when you think back to what we were talking about earlier, it kind of makes sense. Like with Robin, remember they used that 3D optimization process?
Yeah.
So it's trying to balance, you know,
yeah,
the accuracy, the decomposition quality. And now this new MAPE lift thing, which is measuring how well the model lines up with the experimental data.
Right. So they're juggling a lot of balls here.
Exactly. Yeah. And by adding that new MAPE lift objective, it might actually throw everything off balance. It's like they're so focused on matching those short-term experiment results that they actually lose accuracy in other areas.
Ah, so it's kind of a trade-off. Like they might be hitting the bullseye with the experimental stuff,
yeah,
but the overall, you know, aim. Maybe a little bit off.
Exactly. That's what the research found. Sometimes calibration improved that, you know, the fit to the experiment data, so the MAPE.lift metric, but it often led to worse performance on other metrics like MAPE and KL divergence.
Okay. And those other metrics are important because...
Right. So MAPE, I mean, absolute percentage error. That tells us how far off our model's predictions are on average. So how big are our errors, basically? And KL divergence, that's a little bit more complex. But it basically measures how much the distribution of our model's predictions differs from the actual distribution of the data. Yeah. So we want both of those to be low.
Gotcha. So low MAPE, low KL divergence, happy marketers. And it sounds like the research is saying that even though, calibration might make that MEPE lift look really good, it can actually increase those other more important metrics.
Yeah. You're winning the battle, but losing the war.
Exactly.
And there's another interesting thing they found. Remember PIT residuals?
Vaguely. Remind me.
So basically, they tell us how well the model is capturing the shape of the errors, the distribution of the errors. And sometimes calibration actually improved those, meaning the model got better at predicting the pattern of the errors.
But not necessarily the actual values. So it's hitting the target,
yeah,
but not always the bullseye.
Exactly. Hitting the right area on the dartboard, but not necessarily the exact spot we're aiming for. It just goes to show how tricky calibration can be. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Sure.
You know, there are all these trade-offs to consider. And sometimes improving one thing can actually have unexpected consequences somewhere else.
So the big question, right? If experiments aren't the magic solution here, what should marketers be doing instead to make sure their MMMs are accurate?
Well, the research suggests that we need to, you know, maybe step up our stats game a little bit, move beyond those simple tweaks based on short-term experiments, and embrace those more robust techniques, ones that can actually handle all the complexity of marketing data.
So getting a little bit more statistically sophisticated.
Exactly. Think time series analysis, dynamic regression models, even machine learning algorithms, things that can deal with those, you know, temporal dependencies we were talking about. We need tools that can capture how marketing actually unfolds over time and how it all interacts with itself and the world around us.
But we need to trade in our hammer for like a set of precision instruments.
That's a great way to put it. And the good news is there are tons of resources out there for marketers who want to learn these techniques. Courses, workshops, you know, online communities, even open source libraries like Robin and Pimp Marketing. They all offer really valuable tools and guidance.
So it's not hopeless. We just need to approach it with, you know, a little bit more finesse. Maybe brush up on our stats skills a bit. But I think the big takeaway here, after all this, is that blindly using experiments to calibrate our MMMs, it's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
I couldn't agree more. We need to embrace that complexity, get comfortable with those more advanced techniques, and make sure we're using the right tool for the job.
Well said. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our statistical adventure for today. But before we go, I want to leave you with a question that the source material really emphasized. If not experiments, then what are the gold standards for MMM calibration? What are those best techniques to capture the, you know,
the messy,
multidimensional, constantly changing world of marketing data?
That's a great question, and one that deserves a lot more exploration. It's a question that I think is really going to shape the future of MM, and one that I encourage every marketer out there to think about.
Absolutely, and that's what I love about these deep dives. Mm-hmm. It's not about us giving you all the answers. It's about, you know, sparking your curiosity, encouraging you to dig deeper, maybe even challenge some of the assumptions that are out there.
Keep exploring. Keep experimenting.
Yeah.
And keep asking those tough questions. The world of marketing is vast, and it's always changing. and there's always something new to discover.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of MMM calibration. Until next time.